With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's talk a little Bucks basketball. Eric Name joining us, our Milwaukee basketball insider. Eric, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
We are well. So give me your thoughts, life after Middleton.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what Bud does here. There really isn't a clear replacement for Chris Middleton. There just isn't another player on the roster that has his size at 6'7", 220, his length with his wingspan, his scoring ability, his shooting ability, his ability on defense. Like, there just isn't another player on the roster that has really any of those things. Like, there's certain players that has one or two of those things, but trying to find that package is going to be really difficult. So Bud's going to have a couple options. He can go on the smaller side of things. He can go with a guy like Sterling Brown, who's 6'5", 220, so not quite the same length as Middleton, but good shooter, good defender, maybe not quite the playmaker, but certainly someone that could step up at age 24 and hopefully step into that role. You could go with another young guy, Dante DiVincenzo, who's 23. He's going to be even smaller, which would require the Bucks to go with like real small ball lineups. Or he could go bigger. He could go with Ersan Ilyasova and all of a sudden run out of a lineup that has Ersan Ilyasova, Giannis, and Brooke Lopez in there. So I'm going to be interested to see which way he goes. To me, it feels like Sterling Brown's probably the most logical option there, but I would not be shocked if we get to practice here in about half an hour and get to talk to Mike Budenholzer and he tells us there's something that's still starting tomorrow, because last year we saw when Malcolm Brogdon went down that the option that he went with right away was Nikola Mirotic. Obviously Mirotic isn't on the team, but we saw that Bud would probably prefer to go a little bit bigger than smaller. So we'll see what he ends up saying, and we will see how the Bucks kind of try to get through this. But it will not be an easy thing to do. Chris Middleton is pretty much irreplaceable, but they do get it in an easy part of the schedule. 10 of the next 15 at home, only one back-to-back in those 15. They don't have as tough of a schedule as they had in the first 10 games, some easier games here. So I think there is some hope that they can survive this for the next month and really not be all that worse for the wear.
So we were just sitting here talking with Sean Devaney a little bit earlier, and I was asking him about the East and teams that are really viable when it comes to contending. Obviously Philadelphia, but you're still waiting for the inevitable injury to happen to Embiid, because it does seem every year. But then you've got a couple teams that are kind of, you know, obviously Boston is playing with a much better attitude, a much better, like the dark cloud of doom is not hanging over their clubhouse anymore, that Kyrie's gone. So Give me your thoughts. As it's early on in the season, and I understand it, but give me your thoughts as to the East right now and maybe how things are starting to shape up just a little bit.
Yeah, I think I still see the Bucks as the favorite in the East. That Sixers team still has quite a bit to show to me offensively, what they can do on the offensive end. Last year, when it came to crunch time, they ran pretty much everything through Jimmy Butler and J.J. Redick. So I'm going to need to see if Joel Embiid can be that guy, if they can run through him, or if it's Ben Simmons, or if it's either of them. I don't really know. We haven't seen that through the first 10 games. They've won some close games, but they've largely won it through being good defensively. So I think it's the Bucks are still the favorite. The Sixers are in there. I think the Celtics are a little bit better than all of us kind of thought they would be. I had some questions about what they were doing at the center position and whether or not Enes Kanter would be that guy, or if they would give a young guy like Robert Williams a chance. And they've given Williams a chance, and he's looked really good for them. And overall, they've looked pretty good as well thus far. So I think maybe the Celtics are a little bit more real than we would have thought. And I can't remember if I said this to you last week or maybe the week before when we were talking about the Raptors, but this Raptors team, I think we're going to look back at last year's Raptors team and just kind of think, why were we so stupid? And because there was just so much talent on that team. And I guess maybe we're going to do the same thing with all of our predictions before the season, where we didn't give the Raptors enough credit. I think that that Raptors team is really tough. I think a guy like Kyle Lowry, proven veteran, Marc Gasol, proven veteran, and now Pascal Siakam is really popping as a number one option there, and they've had some other contributions up and down their roster. So I think the top is a little bit more, a little bit better than I think even some of us thought they would be. And that's not even mentioning a team like the Pacers that's gotten off to a hot start in the Bucks on Saturday, even without Victor Oladipo. They've been good thus far. So I think the top five or six teams in the East is actually pretty solid. I still think the Bucks are the favorite, and the Sixers are probably the only other team that touches that ceiling with them. But that 2-6, 3-6 is really tough in the East.
The growth of Giannis we were hoping for, and I talked a little bit again earlier about this, but the growth of Giannis, we were hoping for jump shots, and we're hoping for better free throw percentage, and all these things that you keep. I heard him the other day say, "Look, I've got a high ceiling. I'm going to get better." But how do you see Giannis this season as opposed to the way we saw him exit last season?
I think the big thing with Giannis, and I try to remind people of this every offseason, is there's always this idea that Giannis should make 1,000 jumpers a day, or should make 500 threes, or all this stuff with his jump shot. And, I just keep reminding people that that isn't how the best players in the world are really wired. Like, you don't go into an offseason saying, "Hey, I'm going to work on my jump shot. I'm going to become a great jump shooter." No, you work on, "Hey, I'm the best player in the world. I'm going to figure out how to get better. I'm one of the best players in the world. I'm going to figure out how to be the best player in the world." And if you want to do that, you have to get better at all the other things as well. You can't just focus on one thing. Maybe in year 10 or year 11, Giannis will be able to kind of just focus on the jump shot like LeBron was able to do in the second season he had in Miami in year 10. But for now, he's still improving on literally all aspects of his game, and I think we've seen that this year. I think when you look at the way that he passes the ball this year, we've seen an uptick in his assists. I think some of the assists that he's gotten this year are even more difficult than the ones that he's gotten in the past, where you look at some of the skip passes that he's thrown over long distances. You're seeing him throw to players on the move. Wesley Matthews moves around a lot on the perimeter. Kyle Korver does as well. He's gotten much better in that regard. We don't see his dribble as loose as it used to be. I think it's a lot tighter. I think he keeps it closer to his body, less steals, less turnovers in that direction. But I think there's just plays that you see him make end-to-end on the floor that other people just simply can't make. Obviously, in that Thunder game, I was gawking at the play where on one end he picks one of the best point guards of all time in Chris Paul, gets the steal, gives it back to George Hill, and hammers a dunk from the free throw line. And that's just not normal. And when you look at even the freaky stuff that he does, it used to be, "All right, I'm going to do a Euro step, and then I'll finish with a layup at the rim." Now it's Euro steps, and he's throwing down dunks hotter than anyone else in the league throws down a normal dunk. Like, you shouldn't be able to do a three-step Euro, jump off your right foot, and hammer with your right hand as hard as he does. Like, I just think everything he's done has improved a little bit over the summer, and that makes it, I think, more difficult to see the improvement. But I'm working on a piece at The Athletic right now about the All-Decade team, and I was watching some highlights from Giannis from 3 or 4 years ago, and it's night and day. Like, the level of skill that he has, that, I mean, maybe that's the only way we can appreciate it, to go all the way back 3 years ago and watch what he was doing then, but he's just gotten so much better, and I think we're seeing it again this year. We might not all the way realize it until January or February, but he has taken another step this year.
Always good, Eric. We appreciate it. I'm with you. I don't think he necessarily has to become some big-time three-point shooter for us to understand that he is getting better. I just don't know what his ceiling is. And considering the fact that he's still a very young player in many eyes and really in experience, I hope he gets, if he gets 10%, 15%, 20% better, oh my God, who knows what he could be at that point in time as a basketball player. So we'll talk more about that down the road. Eric, appreciate it, pal.
All All right, sounds good. I'll talk
there you go. Eric Name. You can follow him at Eric, E-R-I-C, underscore name, N-E-H-M on Twitter. Eric underscore name on Twitter. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.